Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Let's stand for this one verse. I'll read aloud. You read silently, and then we'll pray together. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you'll help us, every one of us. Lord, as we study this unique character trait of Christ, Lord, really a key to Christ's likeness. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord. We want to learn so that we can be better parents. We want to learn, Lord, so we can help our children. But as has been testified by more than one adult through this series, many adults are recognizing that we need to be reminded of these things and go deeper in these areas in our own life. And so help us, Lord, all to grow in grace, and help us all to become more like Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is the story of Jesus, of course, in the temple. I saw an artist's rendition of the scene depicted in this verse, and it showed an adolescent Christ surrounded by aged members of the Sanhedrin. And there was, I think, very well captured by the artist, looks of astonishment on the faces of these aged men, aged members of the Sanhedrin. And as they stare at the child, and the child appears to be instructing them, the caption below the painting read, "The Christ Child Teaches the Doctors." And as I've mentioned to you before, it was a beautiful picture, but it was not accurate, and accurate as far as the scriptures. If you read this account, it reveals to us that Christ did not go to the temple that day to teach, but rather to learn. And he came to hear, and he wanted clarification. He came to ask questions. Jesus engaged them such for 3 days. Now, have you ever asked yourself the question, why? Here's the answer to that question. It gives us the next great Christ child attribute, and here it is. Jesus was there because he was hungry. He was hungry for knowledge. Hunger for knowledge is the next attribute of Christ as a child that we should add to our list. And as parents, we should also ask the Lord to help us to instill this into our young people. Now, there's some people that believe that it was during this session that Jesus satisfied himself through the Old Testament prophecies that he was indeed the Messiah, the promised one. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I have heard that preached and taught. But I do think it's interesting that God the Father might have allowed Jesus to discover his identity and purpose through a close examination of the scriptures. Notice this. Even the living word had to go to the written word for illumination and direction. Remember, God said that I have magnified my words above my name. But the picture I form in my mind as I read this story is of a 12-year-old Savior, 12-year-old boy, walking into the temple because he wanted some answers. Most 12-year-old boys playing childish games, strolling around, enjoying the carnival-like atmosphere that permeated Jerusalem during the Passover feast. Something different, much different, was burning in the heart of the God-child. He was hungry to learn, hungry for knowledge. Because of this, he sought out those who would have the answers. He engaged the scholars that had spent a lifetime studying the Old Testament prophecies and the Old Testament predictions. Jesus wanted to know. Jesus wanted to learn. Remember, he increased in wisdom, increased in knowledge. That doesn't make him any less God. Sometimes I describe this, for those of you who may be struggling with this, it is a bit hard to comprehend, but I think it's interesting that Jesus, it is said of Christ that he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin. And so anything short of sin, anything, of course, short of sin, he allowed himself to go through a lot of the same struggles and process that we would have to go through. I said this, I don't think Jesus was laying in the manger doing calculus in his head. I think that he laid aside some things. I think that doesn't make him any less God. I think he chose to be raised as any child would be raised and faced the challenge. By the way, children, that ought to be encouragement to you. Sometimes you feel like, you know what, nobody understands what I'm going through. Jesus understands what you're going through. He was touched with the infirmities. We may have forgotten, us that have gotten older, what it's like to be a kid, but Jesus has never forgotten. And when you pray to him, what strength he gives you and understanding you can receive. But one of the things, so I believe that Jesus on purpose laid aside, he saw to it that he would have to go through the same process that all of us had to go through. And because of that, I think that's why some believe this is where he went. And can you imagine, he's growing up and he begins to hear these stories about the unusual circumstances surrounding his birth? Can you imagine, he's sitting in the synagogue and he's beginning to hear Old Testament prophets prophesying that the Messiah, these type of events would surround his coming? By 12 years of age, he wanted some answers. And so through the Word of God, and I think the Spirit of God, he received those answers. And I think the Father perhaps used this session, this three-day session, because out of this he came with this statement, "What, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" It's like from that moment he came out with a clear clarification of his purpose in life and who he was and what he was sent here to do. And but the one thing we want to focus on is this: Jesus was hungry to learn. Now let's use our parental ladder as we work to instill this within our children, this hunger of knowledge. Hey, young person, do you want to learn? Are you hungry to know? Are you hungry to learn? Is that one of the character traits? If I was to ask your teachers and ask your parents, do you work harder to get out of learning or to avoid learning than you do to learn something? One of the things you have to understand growing up, and you have to, I think, mature in this area of gaining knowledge, is you have to remember there's a difference between finishing an assignment and learning the material. Boy, listen to me right here. There's a difference between finishing an assignment and learning the material. We've become masters of the shortcut. Okay, skimming the material instead of reading the material. Cramming instead of comprehending. Looking for shortcuts instead of mining for knowledge. That's become the normal way to go through school for much of our population. Young person, I want to challenge you, because I do want your parents to help you in this area, but learning needs to be important to you. It needs to be important to you. Is, as we first of all properly evaluate our children, parents, is there a hunger to accumulate practical knowledge and biblical principles? Does your children have an attitude towards instruction that reveals a hunger? How much effort do they put into learning? Do they endure a Sunday school lesson or absorb it? During preaching, do they watch the pastor or watch the clock? What is their attitude towards school? Are they hungry to learn something? Are they hungry? I want you to go over to Proverbs chapter 2. I think one of the most important sections of Proverbs, and of course found near the first of this book. When you're talking about gaining of wisdom and gaining of knowledge, there has to be effort put out. Young person, there really is no shortcut to gaining knowledge and gaining wisdom and gaining understanding. You have to work at it. You have to get hungry. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, "My son," notice the responsibility put upon this young man, "if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So God will give it, but he will give it to those, notice this, who are willing to receive the words, who are willing to hide the commandments within them, who will incline their ear unto wisdom, who will apply their heart to understanding, who will cry after knowledge, lift up their voice for understanding, search for her, seek for her as for silver, search for her as for hid children. Then, a lot of ifs in the first four verses there before you get to the first then. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We're way too casual in our approach to learning. We're just way too, come on adults, it's not just the kids, we're way too casual. Some of you pay closer attention to the announcements than you do the message. Okay, well, it's preaching time, time to slide my mind into neutral and just kind of phase out here and think about everything that happened yesterday and everything that will happen tomorrow until the preacher gets done, and hopefully he won't go long. You know what, folks, if we as parents have that type of an attitude, don't think it's not going to be picked up on by our young person. You see, and so number one, a proper evaluation. We need to look. We've allowed a generation to become mentally lazy. Come on, parents. Television, video games has turned our children into dullards. That's no exaggerated statement. That's the truth. Dullards who make excuses and invent imaginary disorders instead of teaching, training, and discipline our children to think. We have allowed them to believe that the frivolous is important and the important is frivolous. Now, we've got to start with proper evaluation. The questions are simple questions. Here they are. Do my children have a hunger to learn? Is knowledge important to them? If not, what can I do as a parent to change this? Number two, pointed prayer. We're building a prayer list now, aren't we? So we begin to pray and ask God, please instill within our children and my child a strength of spirit and godly wisdom and a divine graciousness. And God, please help me to help develop in them a hunger for knowledge. Young person, let me challenge you, okay? Well, I'd really like this to happen, and I think the young person that this happens to, number one, you'll be rare, because I'll say this, but most will never do it. But I'm talking about pre-seventh grader. I'm talking about elementary age kids. Why would it be that only your parents are building a prayer request list during the teaching of this? Where is that third grader that will begin to pray every morning, God, give me strength of spirit. Christ had it. God, give me godly wisdom. You gave it to your son. Would you give me a portion of that? God, give me divine graciousness so that I know how to interact and properly treat others. God, give me a hunger for knowledge. Don't let me go to school today and miss an opportunity to learn something that you want me to know. Wouldn't that be amazing? I promise you this, most of the young person, if they even heard me in this age group, if they even just heard what I said, most of them will let it go in one ear and out the other. But I will tell you this, God will take notice tonight of the young man or the young lady that says, I'll rise to that level of maturity. See, the devil wants to tell you that what your parents are trying to instill into you, you need to fight against. Man, I mean, pastor's laying the plan out here. That's what they're trying to do. I've got to do something about this. I can't let that happen. No, I wouldn't want you to become strong spiritually. No, I wouldn't want you to become gracious. We wouldn't want you to have godly. Isn't it crazy what the devil has done in the hearts of young people? Rebellion has become the norm. It's become a sickness in this culture. The average young person, the minute they understand what authorities are trying to accomplish in their life, start setting up the defenses against that. That's craziness, but that's where we're at. So, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to repeat it. I just wonder, is there that young man here? Is there that young lady here? Is there that teenager here that would say, you know what, this isn't something that people are going to pray to God that I do. This is something that I'm going to begin to pray to God to develop and to work diligently at it along with my parents. I'm going to work with them to develop these things. Parental modeling, step three. My son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. I'm 50 years old, but I'm still a student. Okay, young people, if you want an example, I'm not an example of a lot of things, but I'm a pretty good example of this. Your preacher has a hunger to know and a hunger for knowledge. I want to be ignorant concerning things. I ought to be ignorant. I don't have an appetite when it comes to worldliness, things of this world. I'm glad to be dumb. Everyone else may understand all of the jokes and all and recognize all the shows and know about all the movies and all the the music groups and who's who. And I'm pretty much, you know, in the dark on most things. But I am on purpose. I'm not interested to find out everything that's going on in the world, but I do want to gain knowledge. I do want to know the things that I ought to know. I will never graduate. I'm still a student. Somewhere in my possession are kindergarten diplomas, a kindergarten diploma, a high school diploma, and a college diploma, but I still believe that every day God intends me to teach me something new. I don't pass up opportunities to learn something that's holy and healthy, no matter if it's something that I may or may not ever think I'll need. I want to know. I want to learn. I attend a school. It's called the School of Life. I seek out spiritual and practical doctors to hear them and ask them questions. I want to know. I want to learn. If we're not interested in learning, our children will see little use for it. I've worked with teens long enough. Now, 25 years. To figure this out, you show me a teenager who listens casually to a sermon and seldom, if ever, responds to the truths, and I'll probably show you a parent sitting on the same pew that has the same attitude towards the instruction of God's Word. Show me a child who has a flippant attitude towards his schoolwork, and somewhere in the shadows there's a parent saying these type of things. I don't know why they're teaching you that stuff. You'll never need it anyway. And they're reinforcing ignorance. By the way, you don't know what your children are going to need in life. You have no idea what your children are going to need in life. You don't know what God will call them to do. The very thing that you're saying isn't that important. Maybe the thing that they needed the most for the direction that God's going to take them. So we don't know. We got to make sure that we esteem highly the opportunities and the importance of learning. Step four, patient instruction. If we're going to instill, now this is going to get down to giving you some practical things here, so hear me out. If we're going to instill into our children a hunger for knowledge, then we must instill within them three important attitudes. This is achieved by patient repetition, patient verbal instruction. Some things should be said over and over and over again until they're engraved into your child's very being, so that when they're old, they'll be saying, Mom used to always say, and Dad used to always say, and I can't get it out of my brain. Okay. Young people that have a hunger to learn have, there's some common threads. Listen to me. Some common attitudes that are instilled within them. Number one, the fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord. Teach them to fear the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We preached on that this morning. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise it. Remember, that word doesn't mean hate. It means to see little value in it, to undervalue it. Fools undervalue opportunities of instruction. Fools undervalue opportunities to gain wisdom. We must rear our children to fear the Lord. This is the first step, the starting line. I believe in a long life marathon to learn. And each stride that they take on this journey brings them closer to the day that they'll hold the trophies. And I think the trophies are this: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That's what's exalted in the scriptures. So number one, it starts with the fear of the Lord. Number two, magnify the importance of gathering knowledge. Make that a priority. Hold them to account. What did you learn today? To live a day without learning is to waste a day. I believe it. What did you learn in your devotions today? Not just did you read your Bible and pray, what did you learn? Because they can look at the words and they can track their eyes down the page and they can make a check mark, but you know what? Did they learn anything? Okay? How about this? What did you learn in Sunday school? What's the answer? About Jesus? The Bible? By the way, I want to commend, I think I mentioned this to Brother Chad Gordon, and this isn't uncommon also in many of our Sunday school classes. I'm thrilled to hear some of our grandchildren now that's living here now coming in and saying specifically what was preached in children's church, specifically what was taught in Sunday school. Well, that's a big deal. And teachers who work hard to see to it that through repetition, finding ways to keep their attention, especially at that tender young age, that's a lot of teacher work right there. Thank you very much. I asked Ariana here, I said, how's children's church? Do you like it? Yes, I learned last week that choices have consequences. Really? I like that. Whew, come on now. By the way, choices have consequences. I'd love to get that in their little heart early. Amen. So thank you for working hard at it. Thank you for being willing to lose yourself and keep their attention and do crazy things. What's this whole thing about, wait a minute, what was it? Two ways to pronounce the word, what was the word? Wash or wash? Was that it? Wash or wash? Is that so they could catch the soldiers that were really supposed to be? Yeah, okay, I figured that's where you were going with that. But how many of you say wash? Come on. Admit it. How many of you say wash? Or you work hard not to? All right, okay. I've really tried to adjust some of that, but every once in a while I find myself adding letters in our interesting Greene County style. Amen. So that's fine. Praise the Lord. Don't work too hard at escaping your roots. Every once in a while, it's fun just to be who you are. Amen. Teach them to fear the Lord. Magnify the importance of gathering knowledge. So you ask question, what did you learn from the pastor's sermon? As they get older, teach them the importance of taking notes and jotting down some things as they listen for important truths and key principles. And the reason I'm doing that, you say, well, if they do it on the back of a bulletin, they lose it the next week, or if they do it in a notebook, preacher, then they're... But the thing about it is, it causes them in that moment to be listening, to be looking, to be trying to find something. And so it's a great tool. Knowledge can be gathered from everyone around them, not just in what we would call instructional situations like this, but you know what? If they go spend some time at Grandma and Grandpa's, you ought to come back and say, hey, did you learn anything from Grandpa today? What did you learn from Grandma and Grandpa? My daughter's usually scared of what they're going to answer about that, you know. They spend a good deal of time trying to unteach them things that Papa teaches them, but it's not going to work because repetition's the key to learning, amen. And so Brother Hiles used to say, every person knows something I do not know, therefore every man is my teacher. I love that. And so if you teach them the fear of the Lord, and then you magnify the opportunities to gain knowledge and to hold them to account on that, and then this is so important because you can't separate the two. Magnify the office of those who teach knowledge. Okay, if you're going to magnify the importance of gathering knowledge, you need to magnify the office of those that teach knowledge. That's why James wrote in James 3:1, my brethren, be not many masters. That word is talking about teachers or instructors, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. But it is an esteemed position to be able to teach. That's why we have, look right up here, we're not going to change things around here. That's why we have certain accountability and qualifications for those that teach, okay? Because we're going to magnify your office and we're going to magnify you in the eyes of our young people, and therefore they shouldn't see a Christian that stands before them on Sunday teaching the Bible and then something that would disappoint their hearts throughout the week because you don't want to do right, you don't want to go to the places you ought to, you don't want to dress to a certain standard. That's between you and God, but let me tell you something that's between me and God. And that's who stands anywhere in this ministry with an open Bible and teaches. And so Sunday school teachers, everybody, you don't let off. I mean it, don't let off. And don't sneak around. Be what you ought to be. Let me say it very specifically, okay, when it comes to magnifying the office of those who teach knowledge. Your pastor should be honored when he's spoken of in your home. Your Sunday school teacher ought to be you should teach your children to respect anyone who holds the position of a teacher, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or a school teacher. That's one of the reasons I addressed what I did this morning. Can you honestly hold up as a role model your teacher, everyone who stands before your student, and say, not only listen to what they are saying, but look carefully and learn from their life? It's another reason I couldn't put my kids in the public school system. Doesn't mean every public school teacher is a bad person, but you know what? If they won't even go to church, they won't even attend church, and yet they think that they all have a right to teach my children anything. You know, the fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom. So it's what it is. I didn't create it, but I've got to protect my children from it. They should address their teachers by proper titles. Be careful about that. We've talked about that recently. Thank you, church. You're doing a great job on that, but not just with me, with other people. Children should be taught to express their thankfulness regularly to anyone who takes the time to share with them godly practical knowledge. And I want to say this, thank you. Master's Club is good about that. I got Sunday school teachers that are great about this from time to time, getting their students to write thank you notes. Parents that are great about this, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for teaching the Bible to us. And it just builds that within their heart. But listen, it's not just something you ought to do for me. It'd be a shame if your young person has been in our Christian school for years now and they've never sat down and wrote a thank you note to a teacher. It would be criminal. It would be wrong not to thank a Sunday school teacher as they're being graduated out to the next level and they leave having sat under a teacher for 2 or 3 years and never one time, either verbally and or with a written note, just thank them for doing what they do. What's the importance of that? Well, there's a lot of things, but one of the things is it magnifies in the eyes of the young person those who teach knowledge. I think that pastors and teachers, godly teachers, ought to be heroes to your children. If you spend time openly criticizing those whom God is using to teach your children divine knowledge, you not only sour your child's attitude towards authority, but you diminish their respect towards knowledge. Okay? If you allow them to be disrespectful towards those that are trying to teach them, they will also have the same attitude towards you, by the way, as a parent, or as you're trying to teach them. Nobody can teach selective rebellion. One of the biggest fallacies in the world is that a parent would encourage a kid to be rebellious and disrespectful towards another authority figure and to think that that's not going to come back, that attitude towards you in your position at some point in time. And so practical advice on this matter of patient instruction. Teach them to fear the Lord. Magnify the importance in their eyes of knowledge gathering opportunities, and magnify the office of those who teach knowledge. Step five on our ladder. We're climbing it pretty quick tonight. I like this. All right. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Let me give you some very practical advice here. Two things. Number one, instill within your children a love for reading. A love for reading. And I can't tell you the importance of this. One of the things I appreciate so much about our Christian school in our first grade and kindergarten, we've had amazing, wonderful teachers in our first grade and kindergarten level. One of the most important things to me is that we establish a good foundation for reading in our young people. Some young people don't like to read because they struggle to read. And so we need to fix that. If your child struggles to read, that's one of the things you need to address. There's ways to get help in that. But I want them to learn to read well because I want them to learn to love to read. And so one of the greatest gifts my parents gave me growing up was a steady supply of good books to read. I mean that. My mom took us to a place called the public library. We had something called a library card. Amen. And we were allowed to check out books and build. She allowed me to give me money in elementary school. Allowed me to buy books when they were available for purchase, and interesting books that would keep my interest. Thank God I had especially one teacher that was just wonderful about this. And at the end of every school day, she would take one of the books, and it was usually an adventure book, and she would read a chapter a day to us. And it was at the end of every day, and she'd say, "Everybody, put your stuff away. Listen to me." And man, that was one of the favorite times. And it was one of those, she'd always pick a book, so when the chapter ended, it was like, what's going to happen? And then she'd close the book and we'd go, oh. And we couldn't wait till the next day. We had to find out, you know, what happened. And so those type of things, just to read to children and teach them before they can read, to read to them. And then after that they can read, to get them books that will interest them and keep them. Listen, I'm not talking about turning kids into just bookworms. I think if you know me, you know that I grew up loving the outdoors, and I still to this day do that. And I went out and played and did all the guy stuff, but at the same time, I love to read. And I think that's a good balance. So instill within them a love for reading, practical training, because folks, here's an exciting thing. I'm going to tell you something. We've never been in an age like this. But anything that you want to learn to do, you can learn to do it. And anything that you want knowledge about, it's available. And if you will dig for it, you can learn to do it. And throughout my life, I've always learned this because of the fact that I can study and I can learn. Somebody said, "Could you do this?" Well, I never have. Do you know how to do it? No, but I can find out. And because I've had that attitude, I think that God's allowed me opportunities to experience a lot of things and do a lot of things because I believed that I could find somebody to talk to who could teach me, or some book to read that would instruct me. And between those two things, I could do almost anything, you know, within certain limitations, almost anything. I mean, I couldn't have a baby, but almost anything else within certain limitations, you know, that I could learn to do. Every night I get myself in trouble somewhere. Still with them, a love for reading. Number two, treat their questions with great respect. Now get this, folks. Listen, we want to encourage young people to be hungry for knowledge. Well, you know what is an indicator that they're on the right track? Questions. Too many times we do not treat our young people's questions with respect. The 12-year-old Christ was not only listening as the doctors taught, but he also asked them questions. I think one of the questions are one of the greatest tools, young people, that you can use in gathering knowledge. Never be afraid to ask a question. Never be afraid to ask a question. Ask it in the right spirit. Ask it for the right reason. I could take you to a group of men in the Bible that followed Jesus around and asked him all kinds of questions, but they weren't hungry for knowledge. They were just smart alecks that were trying to trap him in his words. So sometimes there's a young person ask questions, but you know what they're doing? They're being a smart aleck. They aren't really hungry for knowledge. They're just trying to, you know, play the fool. But a young person who asks the right questions for the right reasons is deserving of an answer. So when a child asks questions, they're gathering knowledge. okay, I mentioned this a while back, but you remember the why phase that every kid goes through, you know? And sometimes we almost, during that time, if we're not careful, train them out of asking questions. Some of you moms, Pastor, I'm trying, but 5 minutes of quiet would be great. Just 5 minutes, amen. That's okay. Sometimes you need to send them all to their bed. See, I believe in naps, but my wife really believed in naps. She really believed in naps. And you say, oh, the kids are getting too old for naps. They're not ever too old for quiet time. And, you know, there comes a time where you need to get something done. Okay, everybody, you need to go sit on your bed. I don't care if you sleep or not, if you're a certain age, but you can get a book, but you need to sit quietly. You know, one of the things you do need to learn, young people, the Bible says study to be quiet. And you don't always have to be talking, don't always have to be driving somebody crazy. But at the same time, if you don't ask questions, you're not going to learn. And so encourage their questions until you just can't absolutely tolerate it anymore, and then send them to their room. Amen. Tell them, here's a good book that'll help you to find out the question, answer your question. What is it, Mommy? It's called an encyclopedia. Now, go in there. When you finish all of the volumes, you can answer me and ask me another question. All right, so, but listen, never, listen, children are going to ask questions sometimes that seem silly to us. And we got to be careful. Isn't it hard not to laugh sometimes because of the way they ask them? It really is. But you know what? When somebody opens their heart and asks a question, what they're doing, it's a very, I don't know if I'm going to find the right word here, but they've made themselves very vulnerable. Okay? What they're saying is, there's something I don't know. Now, somebody who looks at ignorance as an opportunity in an area, and ignorance doesn't, it's not a bad thing. If you don't know, you don't know. But if they see ignorance as an opportunity to belittle somebody, and so, what do you mean you don't know that? Everybody knows that. What, are you stupid? And you know what? Pretty soon they're not going to ask questions anymore. And so be careful. Don't laugh or belittle them for their lack of knowledge. They'll stop asking questions. Give your child the impression that their questions, if you give the child the impression that their questions are a bother, it will cause them to stop asking. The Bible teaches us the tone. Boy, this is so important. Let me just give you a key here. The teachers, every teacher on any level of teaching ought to learn this. The Bible even teaches us the tone of voice that we use when answering a question or imparting knowledge can add to or diminish a child's ability to learn. There's something inside of a child that if you begin to answer them with anger, they feel like they've upset you, they're no longer thinking about your answer. They are concerned about the fact that mom or dad's mad at me or the teacher's mad at me. If you begin to answer them, even if you give them the proper answer, but with ridicule, they've stopped and shut down the learning process. Now all they're worried about is the fact that people are laughing at me, people think I'm stupid, they don't even hear what you say. That's why the Bible says, write this verse down somewhere, Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. Watch this. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. And we have young people that honestly, it's harder for them to ask questions. They're just more timid in our Christian school. And when somebody does that, we can destroy much by how we answer that and the attitude and tone which we take with them. And again, sometimes they're going to ask questions. And by the way, it isn't just parents that ought to be careful of this. It's other young people that ought to be careful of this. Okay? Somebody asks a question, you know the answer to that. And so you look at it as an opportunity to mock and ridicule them for not knowing what you know. By the way, you didn't know either till somebody taught you. You weren't born with that knowledge. Somebody taught you that. And so what we do is we tend to put down people around us sometime because they're asking questions, and then pretty soon they're afraid to ask a question. Because somebody asks a question, and maybe, watch this, some of you young people that just get things a little quicker, okay? And maybe you're in a classroom situation and somebody didn't get it, and so they ask a question, and you do this number, look at them, roll your eyes, like, come on, stupid, you're holding this up. That's not right. That's not right. Not everything you're going to get quick. Maybe that's your subject where it's not as hard. There's other things that maybe they'll get quicker than you'll get. Don't treat people like that. Questions are a way to answers. It's a way to gather knowledge. A child's question. Won't you love that verse? The wise in heart shall be called prudent. Okay? Are we prudent? Are we wise in heart? And the sweetness of lips increaseth learning. And I'm telling you this, everybody, including moms and dads, who spend time answering questions and teaching their children, ought to understand that if you can set them down, if they feel like you're impatient and you're upset because you've had to stop what you do, then you know what? You've lost an opportunity to teach. Just to congratulate them. You know what? That's a great question. I'm so proud of you. It seems like you're always wanting to learn something. You know, most young people don't care to learn. And you're wanting to learn something. So come over here. Sit down with me. I'm going to take a minute and answer that. That's a great question. That one little phrase there, man, that's a great question. We'll probably do more to increase the willingness to gather and the willingness and the hunger to learn than for us to treat questions like they're a bother. Monitors, are you hearing me? School teachers, are you hearing me? Because you can squelch or you can grow a young person's hunger for knowledge by just on how you interact with them. Step number 6, praise and reward. Praise is a powerful tool. I just talked to you about this. What child does not bloom under the warm rays of his parents' approval? Proper behavior is cemented into place with parental praise. I believe that. There's a statement for you. Proper behavior is cemented into place with parental praise. Well, that's a great statement. I don't know who wrote that sentence, but they're near genius. Proper behavior is cemented into place with parental praise. Fan your children's hunger for knowledge by congratulating them when they make any effort to learn. When you congratulate, when you lift them up, learning can and should be fun. I believe that. Work hard, every teacher, every parent, work hard at making it so. Work hard at making it so. What about correction, preacher? Does that come into place? Yeah. In our chapter on instilling godly wisdom, we found out that although foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, a combination of reproof and rod can drive it far from them. How important are our children's attitudes towards instruction? How important is it that they set as a priority the gaining of godly knowledge? Should a disdain for instruction and knowledge be tolerated or excused? Now, I'm going to read some verses. I'll just read them, okay? Boom, 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 boom. Here they go, out of Proverbs. Now, I want you to think about these verses. Please, don't let them go in one ear or out the other. Let me read them to you. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise or undervalue wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 4:13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Proverbs 8:10, receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Preacher, you know the price of an ounce of silver and gold? Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with the prices of those things. But the Bible says you'd be better served to seek out instruction and lay hold on it. It'll be more valuable to you in the long run than if somebody gave you a bag of silver or a bag of gold. That's what God said. How about Proverbs 8:33? Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. What are we talking about? The proper attitude towards instruction. Whoso loveth, Proverbs 12:1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Poverty and shame, Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. I'm not just talking. Some of you say, preacher, I wasn't a real school guy, an academic guy. I'm not a real big book guy. That doesn't mean, listen, how many of you have learned, lived life long enough to learn that most or much of what you learn in life is just learned by being around people that know things that you don't know, and you have a humility and a willingness to be taught and to be tutored by people who know more than you know? Okay? I'm not talking about just school academics. I'm talking about life's lessons. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Over and over again, God emphasizes the connection between wisdom and a hunger for knowledge. He also labels a disdain for instruction and knowledge as foolishness. We as parents, we need to see to it that our children are reared with a sacred attitude towards instruction, a genuine thirst to learn. Why? To do otherwise is to rear fools. To do otherwise is to rear fools. So hear this great Christ strength, hunger of knowledge. If you begin to see a young person that develops this attitude, this undervaluing of of learning opportunities, that ought to be corrected in them. Oh, I'm not going to need this anyway. Well, it's just stupid. Well, it's boring. That what they're saying is, I don't want to learn anything. One of the hardest things in the world to overcome in a young person, once it gets firmly rooted, is this. And young person, you best hear me. And that's what I call a know-it-all attitude. The minute you develop a know-it-all attitude, then you know what? You will shut down the voices of instruction and wisdom and knowledge around you because you don't want to hear it, because you don't need to hear it. Why? Because you already know everything. Let me promise you, you know very, very little. Very little. And not only do you know very little, but if you carry on that attitude, you'll continue to know very little. And life will teach you lessons. You will go to school somehow. And life can take you to school, the school of hard knocks. And you can learn things the hard way and spend your life living things the hard way. And boy, some of you are going to get to 35 or 40 before you get humble enough to wake up and say, man, what a fool I've been. But watch this. The young person who heard me tonight and said, I'm going to jot these prayer requests down. I'm going to develop the right attitudes in these areas. By the time you wake up, because you're bullheaded, stubborn head, by the time you wake up, that person will have eclipsed you. They will have far outdistanced you. You know why? Because they adopted a humility, a humbleness of heart that says, I'm going to listen to what Dad says. He's lived longer than me. He knows a lot I don't know. I'm going to listen to what Mama says. I'm going to listen to the teacher today because you know what? They've got some things I need to learn. I'm not going to try to figure out a way to get away from Grandpa. I'm going to spend a little bit more time around Grandpa. I'm going to listen to Grandma and what she can teach me. And I'm going to listen to some of the, I'll hang around with my friends some, but you know, I'm going to find opportunities to get around some of the ladies in the church that are successful and godly, and God has used them. And I'm going to learn some things from them. Hunger of knowledge. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take this sacred trait, this Christ trait. Lord, may we grasp a hold of it. May we get it. Lord, may we learn. Help us not to bypass an opportunity, Lord, tomorrow as the day progresses to learn something new. As long as it's holy and healthy, may we spurn the type of knowledge, the type of worldly wisdom that does nothing but debase us and strengthen the flesh and lead us towards foolishness and folly. I pray, Lord, that we would hunger to know the right things, good things, dear God. Help us to seek out good books and read them. Help us to learn to interact with people that know more than we do in specific areas, and help us to identify those areas and strengthen those things. May we be courageous enough sometimes to step out a bit and tackle some things that are outside our comfort zone, knowing that there's people who do know and there's things that we can read, and there's knowledge out there to be gathered, and the only way to learn is to learn, and the only way to become proficient at anything is to do, and everybody that's ever done anything had to do it the first time. Thank you for these young people in this room that truly do have, and Lord, I admire them. They're developing already at an early age, many of them, a teachable spirit and a hunger to know, and Lord, I look ahead and see such great things for them down the road. Keep a humble spirit about them. Lord, help them to not be swayed by those, Lord, that would scorn knowledge and scorn those who teach knowledge. I pray that they'd keep a hungry heart, a right attitude towards learning opportunities. Bless our young people. They're entering into a school year. And Lord, what a good Bible study. What a good lesson for them early on in the school year to grab a hold of this and just say, I'm not going to be looking for shortcuts. I'm going to be looking for knowledge. I'm not going to look for a way to get out of learning something. I'm going to find a way to learn extra. And prepare them now. May they lay the foundation of a lifetime, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.